The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Utilities are warning of rolling power outages this summer in many parts of the country. The reason is that demand will exceed supply if temperatures rise sharply. Texas is already grappling with constraints thanks to several plants undergoing maintenance while a heat wave hits the state. California is facing summer outages, and the crucial grid for much of the Midwest is also cautioning trouble ahead.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that was Steve Forbes talking about how rolling blackouts could happen across the country. You know, I think about this sometimes. See, we take electricity for granted, don't we? Unless you have lost electricity because of a storm, we go to the light switch, the light goes on, right? Your air conditioner is running, your heater goes on, your refrigerator's keeping your food cold, you still got your ice. I mean, we just take everything for granted, right? But you lose power. And things radically change. And I've shared this story with you in the past. About a year or two ago, I live in an area where I hardly ever lose power. When I was living in Pennsylvania, the area I lived in, I lost power all the time. And it was a drag, right? So I got accustomed not to losing power. A big storm came through, high winds, and apparently something must have happened. They knocked out a transformer or something must have went down. I didn't have the internet for about 8 hours that day. You know, no TV, no electricity. You almost thought the world was ending. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Our food's going to get ruined. You know, I lived in a rural area at the time, and you had a well pump that would pump your water, so you couldn't get drinking water. You couldn't really refill your toilets if you had to flush them. So you could see how a prolonged experience can become problematic. But, you know, this talk about rolling blackouts. Talk about power shortages here in the United States of America. When you think about that, it's always in the context of a third world country where you might have, you know, power only for a short period throughout the day, and that's it. You know, they conserve that. We don't think about this kind of thing happening in the U.S. unless you live in California. I know you're an exception. I know fire season has created a real headache for many of you who live in that state. But generally speaking, you know, this is not really an issue. This summer, though, I'm just putting this on your radar. I'm trying to give you a little bit of a heads up here. This summer might bring about a change, and you won't like it. The North American Electric Reliability Corporation, they're a regulatory body. They oversee grid stability. Here's what they're reporting, okay? This is not me. This is what they're saying. They're saying that the vast swaths of the country, from the Great Lakes to the West Coast, is at risk of blackouts. I'm thinking, do I need a generator now? What the heck, right? Bloomberg was reporting that this regulator is claiming that climate change is partly to blame because of the historic drought, you know, hitting the western part of the country. And we've talked about how low Lake Mead was and the water wars that we're seeing in the Colorado and other places. But this all goes together, right? You know, where Lake Mead comes in and these drastic low levels, they can't pump out enough hydro-powered electricity. As a result of it, you know, you're going to see maybe rationing or shortages. But there's something else going on. Coal-fired plants, they're being closed to make room for wind and solar-generated electricity. But that's not enough of the so-called renewable energy yet to make up for those coal-fired, you know, plants that have closed. So with the removal of those plants, it's putting a greater strain on the natural gas-fired plants, which means they're going to be more susceptible to breaking down. And according to Bloomberg, that already happened in Texas last week, where it's been, you know, in the hundreds. And it's not even June yet, right? It's not even June. I also heard reports that your electric bill could triple in the not-too-distant future, in the months ahead. So what's the truth behind all this? What can we expect? How should we prepare? Anthony Watts, he joins me. He's Senior Fellow for Environment and Climate at the Heartland Institute. Check them out if you want more info. It's heartland.org. Heartland.org. And Mr. Watts operates the most viewed website in the world on climate. Okay, the most viewed website in the world on climate. The award-winning whatsupwiththat.com. A very clever domain, huh? Hey, Anthony, good to have you with me. Good afternoon.
Oh, it's good to be here. Right now, I'm in Selma, Alabama, in view of the Edwin Pettus Bridge, where the Civil Rights March started. I'm actually out driving around the country surveying official weather stations operated by NOAA to see how well they're complying with the way that they're supposed to be placed away from heat sources and things like that. So happy to be on the show for you today.
So what are you finding? What have your travels revealed?
Well, what I'm finding is that all of the weather stations operated by NOAA for use in determining the climate of the United States, almost all of them have some sort of an issue, whether they're placed too close to concrete or asphalt or heat-generating devices such as generators or air conditioner exhaust. It seems to be systemic in the entire system, and there's several thousand of these stations around the United States, and I have visited over 1,000 myself, and I can tell you that almost every one of them is compromised in some way. Close to 95% either is too close to heat sinks or sources or an air conditioner outlet or something like that that causes them to be warmer than normal. Wow. And that creates a bias in the climate change signal. And so I'm actually about to inspect one of the weather stations here in Selma, Alabama, right down the street. And it's at, believe it or not, I'm not kidding you, it's at the sewage treatment plant. Wow. There's a lot of them around the United States that are in those locations at sewage treatment plants because back in the day when they first started doing this, they had to have somebody who was there 7 days a week, 365 days a year, to write down the data on paper and mail it in to the Weather Bureau.
Wow.
Now they don't need that. They can do it with Internet and so forth, but they've still stuck to these same places. And so all that's happened is that the infrastructure is built up around them. Mm. But that's another story. Yeah. I'm on here to talk about electricity and so forth.
So let's talk about that. They're talking about blackouts, rolling blackouts. How likely is that? Are they talking about these rolling blackouts like we've seen in California? Will these be sudden? Will we know they're coming? Are they going to be pre-planned? How long will they be out? What should we expect? Again, the report says from the Midwest, from the Great Lakes to the West Coast, that's a pretty big swath of this nation. Fill us in on what you know or what at least we should be prepared for.
Well, you said earlier in the program that they're blaming it on climate change. Well, that's partly true. But actually, the right thing to blame it on is the reaction to climate change, because that's what's really driving all of this. You know, climate change has become sort of the false god of the left. They think it's everywhere and everything, under every rock and behind every tree. Yep. If you read the news, you can find hundreds of things that they blame on climate change, if not more. But here's the problem. In reacting to that, to try to reduce carbon dioxide emissions so that we have less carbon dioxide being emitted by energy generating and energy using things, we've created a new problem. Now, 20 years ago, rolling blackouts around the United States were unheard of, wouldn't even be talked about. But what's happened in 20 years is that the left has pushed the green agenda, pushing more windmills and turbines, solar panels, and so forth. And while on the surface that seems like something really noble and worthwhile, you know, making the earth cleaner and better and greener and all of that, there's a hidden problem behind all of it. And the hidden problem is that solar power doesn't work at night, and wind power is intermittent. And we've let our grid for the United States become significantly relied upon for solar and wind. And the problem is that especially during heat waves, when evening comes, the wind dies, and of course the solar dies at the same time. And so you get a double whammy. And this is what happened in California a couple of years ago in August. They nearly lost the entire grid in California one day when the solar died and the wind died around 6 p.m., 7 p.m., when the sun was going down and the wind started calming. And so the grid basically couldn't find any energy. And so it nearly collapsed. And so, yes, I think we're going to see a good potential for rolling blackouts because they're basically pushing this idea that we have to tolerate this because we're going to save the planet. Right. And it's hogwash, really.
So, you know, there are things like coal-fired plants. Do they contribute to climate change? I mean, it sounds like a dirty source of energy, right?
Well, they coal power, I grew up in a town that had a coal-fired power plant, and the energy was always there, always on, 100% of the time. They had multiple boilers going, and, you know, they switched one off and another one on, and everything was constant.
Right.
You never had to worry about it. And yes, coal is somewhat dirty. It does produce things like fly ash and sulfates and so forth in the atmosphere. But back in 1970, the EPA mandated a lot of those things had to be cleaned up. And so I witnessed a change in my own hometown where, you know, the coal-fired plant, you know, used to create a fair amount of soot that would come down. But now it's not there anymore.
Wow.
But they've still
That's good.
Got the carbon dioxide going. But you've got to have... That's something you can't really get rid of. You can't, you know, scrub it out of the smokestack.
Right.
It's impractical and nearly impossible, really. But the bottom line is that carbon dioxide is not the boogeyman of pollution that the left would like you to think it is. You know, if you go back to your basic science in grade school and look at photosynthesis, you realize that carbon dioxide is the main component of photosynthesis in plants.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, since 1980, thanks to satellites, we've been able to measure a greening of the planet due to increased carbon dioxide. And so NASA reports that from satellite studies, a surface area equivalent to the surface area of the United States has gotten greener all around the world. And they attribute a lot of that to fertilization of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. So it's not a terrible thing, necessarily.
No, I could not agree with you more. Wind, solar? There's this heavy move towards that. I'm all about being a good steward of the environment. But, you know, honestly, can that replace where we are right now, the amount of electricity that the plants that are being shut down with or were able to produce? And if they can't, then is there some hybrid version of this? I mean, how do we keep electricity coming to Americans?
Well, the real answer is nuclear. Now, we have the capacity to produce more nuclear plants in the United States. And, you know, despite the fact that, yes, there's been a couple of accidents, there was the one in Chernobyl, and that was due to a very, very poor, antiquated design that they couldn't control properly. And, yes, there was Three Mile Island. But while in the case of Russia, that particular accident did actually cause people to die, not so much because they were exposed to it in the area, but because the firefighters that they sent in to fight the fire got fatal doses of radiation doing it. But in the Three Mile Island here in the United States, not a single person died. Not a single person got sick. Nuclear power is actually very safe in lots of ways. It just has been given a bad rap due to the left pushing things like, you know, the China syndrome and so forth, which in today's world isn't going to happen. There's much better safeguards and so forth.
Yeah.
Nuclear power is just like coal power. It's steady. It's there all the time. And it doesn't produce anything in the environment. And even the great climate scientist that started all this, Dr. James Hansen of NASA, who testified before Congress in 1988, the very first time that we had a problem from carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, has said in the last 10 years, we really need to go towards nuclear to make our changeover to a greener society, a greener energy situation, because we're not going to get there on wind and solar alone. And he was absolutely right. We are not going to get there by wind and solar alone. If we are expecting to be able to have a reliable energy grid in the future, wind and solar is not going to do it. You've got to have backup for those things, for when the lights or for when the sun goes down and when the wind stops blowing. And if you don't have those things, the grid collapses.
So what happens? It's just a matter of time. We know clearly where the Biden administration is when it comes to wind and solar and the new Green Deal. Do we have to wait for a transition to be able to also transition in terms of our energy supplies and the way that America receives its energy?
Well, I think we're in a very dangerous situation right now because they have run headlong into this green energy revolution without really thinking through the consequences. And as we saw 2 years ago in California where the grid nearly collapsed, literally it was within minutes of collapsing.
Yep.
We are going to be facing that because the energy companies get all this political pressure to be green. And so they keep adding more wind and solar. They close coal plants. They even close in California. And this is the insane part. Natural gas peaker plants, which are designed to kick in during a power situation where they need more power. They've just decided they have to close those because natural gas produces carbon dioxide when it burns. I mean, the insanity of this is just it's endemic to the political and energy infrastructure of America. And so they continue to go down this path without really thinking it through. The bottom line is we're going to have some kind of an energy collapse of some sorts, like what we nearly had in California or like what we nearly had in Texas last year during the wintertime. Same scenario. The wind stopped blowing. The natural gas couldn't get to the places they needed to because the pumps froze up, you know, and things just went south. We're going to have that scenario someplace in a big way somehow, and that's going to be a huge wake-up call. And that's the time when people really start, you really need to start making their voice heard and saying, this is not acceptable. We don't have a third world country here in the United States of America, and we shouldn't have to tolerate, you know, energy disruptions like that.
So what are you doing to prepare? Is there any advice you want to give or anything you want to share?
Well, you know, in the world today, backup generators are becoming all the rage. You can buy them virtually anywhere, and I have been seeing them fly off the shelves at Costco and at other stores. Walmart even sells them. And so a lot of people have been getting backup generators that operate on natural gas or operate on fuel oil or something like that, or even liquid propane. Get one of those. If you are in a place where you think you might be faced with an energy shortage or an energy outage, a backup generator is a great investment. And I'm not pitching these for any company or anything, but I'm just simply saying you can't rely on the government to protect you anymore. You have to go take this into your own hands, and a backup generator is your way of taking control away from the government, away from the energy companies, and making your life secure.
I love it. I only have a moment or two left with our guest today. If you want to join us, you'd have to dial in pretty quickly at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149, taking a look at rising electric costs, possibilities of rolling blackouts, and you know how we remedy that with Anthony Watts, Senior Fellow for Environment and Climate at the Heartland Institute. Hey, Anthony, I do want to ask you a question because I had seen that you have the most viewed website in the world on climate. And I want to give the web domain out. It's whatsupwiththat.com. And Watts is W-A-T-T-S, whatsupwiththat.com. It's a little play on words. What will people find there? And you know, tell me a little bit about the site.
We talk about every issue related to energy and climate going on in the world today. And we have articles that go back to as far as 2006 talking about all of this. There you will find facts that you will not find anywhere else because these facts do not support the narrative. You will find things like a link to my book, Climate at a Glance, which you can get on Amazon. Just go to Amazon and type in Climate at a Glance, an inexpensive book, $9.99. But you will find facts in there that you will never see on the evening news or in the newspaper. And it's done with NOAA and NASA data. It's totally certifiable and properly referenced like a scientific document. It's unassailable. Look at those facts, and you'll get a whole new perspective on what climate's all about and why it's not really a crisis.
Well, that's good to know. I'm glad to hear that. We'll see what happens. Drought continues on the West Coast, and fuel prices are on the rise. We have the war in Ukraine. Europe's got energy dependency. You know, who knows how all this is ultimately going to shake out? And I know you don't have a crystal ball. You can't tell the future. But I'm just curious as to how bad it'll get before it gets better. Do you see us, you know, they're talking about the energy prices possibly tripling. We're talking about rolling blackouts. When's the peak? You know, after the summer, through the summer, what do you see if there was a timeline to be on the lookout for?
Well, for electricity, late summer is going to be the real risky time because that's when we typically have the highest temperatures. You know, we're looking at late July into late August. That is the period when we get the warmest temperatures typically in the United States. Sometimes that extends into September.
Right.
But at that same time, because the Biden administration has essentially shut down significant oil production and oil leases and so forth, we're going to see energy prices for things like gasoline and natural gas continue to rise.
Wow.
And that is going to have a direct effect on prices on everything, because our entire country runs on energy.
Yep.
It doesn't run on unicorn dreams or anything like that. It runs on real energy.
Yeah,
and if you don't have energy to get from point A to point B, or transport goods or manufacture things, then you've got to buy something else, and it's more expensive, and that gets passed on to the consumer.
I don't know if you can answer this, and this may be outside of your purview, but we talked about rising gas prices yesterday on the broadcast here, and there's talk that we'll see $6 a gallon gas come the summer. But there are some even speculating we could see gas go as high as $10 a gallon in some states. How likely or unlikely is that? And again, I'm not sure whether you can address that.
Well, I'm not an expert on petroleum prices, but the bottom line is that the supply has been constricted artificially by Biden administration policies. And when you have a constricted supply and that constriction is held steady, the only result is then, you know, the energy is scarcer and prices go up. It's the way the market works. So I have no doubt that prices will continue to rise. Whether they reach $10 a gallon or not, I can't say. But I will say this, unless the Biden administration changes what they're doing and really starts looking out for America instead of pipe dreams over climate, we're going to see these kind of things happen.
All right, let me grab one quick call for you because we only have a minute or two left at the very most here. Peter is listening to us in New York. Peter, good afternoon. You are on the air. Thanks for joining Anthony Watts.
Hi, how are you?
Hey.
How are you doing?
We're well, thanks. Go right ahead. Good to have you calling in.
Good, good. You know, I understand everything you're saying, and I follow along, but saying that we can't have all of our electricity from solar and wind, it becomes a supply and demand issue. And I think there are people out there who believe this ideology that, yes, it can supply our demand. We just need to reduce the demand. That it's not a supply issue, it's a demand issue. And one of the ways they see doing that is reduce our population. We shouldn't have as many people in the world as we do. They see that as the problem, and that we're using too much energy, and so we should reduce the population, reduce the consumption, and then we could all live with the earth in
gotcha.
A better way.
All right. Hey, Peter, thank you for calling. Let's talk about supply and demand here and whether there is an ideology driving this. Anthony, I'll give you the final thoughts here because I only have a couple moments.
Well, you know, there have been a number of climate activists and organizations that have said that reducing the population is necessary to get the climate under control. And so they have no compunction about putting hardships on the American people to make that happen.
That's true.
Some of these people even have their own names just say that blatantly, like there's one called the Extinction Rebellion. And their whole idea is to reduce the human population. And so, yeah, I wouldn't put it past them that some of this has to do with that.
Well, hey, Peter, thanks for the call. And Anthony, thanks for making time for us there. I know you're traveling, and I'm grateful for your insight. People can check out your website, whatsupwiththat.com, W-A-T-T-S. As in Watt, whatsupwiththat.com. Thank you for your insight. I hope to catch up with you again. This is a story that's not going away, and I think it'll become even more important as the temperatures continue to climb. So we'll connect again soon, okay?
All righty. Thank you very much, and you have a pleasant day.
Thanks. That's Anthony Watt, Senior Fellow for Environment and Climate at the Heartland Institute. You can check them out at heartland.org as well. I've got to take a short pause. When I come back, are you looking for a job? There's a lot of job openings out there, but where are they, right? What sectors? What areas? Inflation is up. You might be looking for a second job. We're going to talk about that. We're going to take a look at jobs. We're going to take a look at the Biden administration. I think there's 11.5 million job openings right now. 4.5 million people have actually quit their jobs over the last month. I saw in California there's going to be some basic universal basic income going out. They're going to give they're going to test this in Cook County, Illinois, where they're going to give for a 2-year period $500 a month to select residents. But we'll take a look at why people aren't going back to work. And if you are on the job hunt, Bruce Lockenauer is going to be stopping by. He'll bring you up to speed. We'll answer your questions. It's a good opportunity for you to tap into his expertise right after this.
We go there. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
The U.S. saw record levels of job openings and workers quitting in March, according to the U.S. Labor Department. There were 11.5 million available positions, up from 11.3 million the previous month. That's the largest number since related data was first recorded in 2000. The increase in job openings was driven by retail trade and durable goods manufacturing as employers increased hiring to meet growing demand for goods and services. A record 4.5 million Americans quit their jobs in March. The figure suggests a tightening labor market that will push wages up.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that report about the current labor market was from Mariung News. I'm going to discuss that coming up with Bruce Lochenour. If you want to join us, feel free to get in. 888-914-9149. Last time he was with me, I know our lines filled up very quickly. And I know you've been hearing, you know, about maybe even seeing for yourself, you know, inflation's hitting our country. Who has not experienced it, right? I mean, you go, I filled up my car the other day and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm not paying $4.95 for gas. I ended up paying $5.15, right? It's crazy. A couple blocks later, it was too late. I don't know whether the sign switched or whether or not I should have stopped when I saw it. But there's talk, as I said, about energy prices going up. You might be wondering, you know, whether or not you're going to be able to keep the lights on, pay the bills. You might say, you know what, because of inflation, I need a second job or I need a better job. I need to make a little extra change, you know, just to be able to get by, to bridge that gap. You're going to find out, again, pretty soon, what the economy's like and the best strategy for you. And you can join Bruce and I here in just a second. But, you know, part of the irony as I sit here before we talk with Bruce, part of the irony of this economy, and this is something I want to get his take on, is that there are more than 11 million job openings right now. There are 11 million job openings right now. I saw that stat this morning, and somebody said to me, well, maybe they're those you know, low-income jobs, or they're, you know, I don't know what they are. I mean, there's something that has been going on since the start of the pandemic. Businesses were forced to shut down. People were getting paid money to stay home. And as a result, a lot of businesses suffered. Some closed. Some people never went back to work. You know, unemployment checks kept coming in, and they figured they could make as much staying home as they could going back to work, or maybe even more. So when we have, as a nation, 11.5 million job openings, 4.5 million people who've quit their job in the last month, I sit back and I don't have an answer for it. But the amazing thing, it's been going on for months now. People are quitting their jobs in droves. I've never seen anything like this. That's why you keep seeing help wanted signs all over the place. It may not last much longer. Retailers, their earning numbers are coming in, and they're disappointing, to say the least. Housing starts slowed down last month. Inflation, with the way it is, of course, businesses are going to have a hard time staying open because people, they're going to be saying, I can't afford to go shopping. And I got to pay the electric bill, right? I got to put gas in my car. I got to buy groceries. Which means the R word could be on the horizon. And that R word, of course, is recession. Let's talk about where we are, what's going on, the way you can help yourself find that perfect dream job, bridge this financial drought, if you will, that a lot of people are now encountering. I'm joined by Bruce Lochenour. He is a global senior client partner with Korn Ferry, the international search firm. And couldn't speak to a more qualified expert on this topic. Bruce, good to have you with me today. Thank you for your patience. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, Drew, it's my pleasure. Good to be on with you again.
Yeah, you can always have a second job, Bruce, if the international search firm doesn't work out, doing voiceover work. What a voice. I love it.
Thank you.
You know, I heard you in my headsets here, and I'm like, whoa, that sounds good. It's good to have you with me. Give me your take on where we are right now. I mean, how much longer do you think this type of job market can last? And educate me, because 11.5 million open jobs, what kind of jobs are they? What's going on? Why are people leaving their jobs? Help me understand this.
True. A lot of questions in there. Let's hit on a bunch of those if we can, and then circle back if I miss something. But there was a period of time when people were working from home, And they realized that there might be a better life than the one that they were leading previously. It might involve new challenges. It might involve better family work balances. It might involve working from home and not having to deal with the commute. But for whatever reason, coming out of the pandemic and the quarantine, we saw a lot of churn in the job market and continue to see it. Now, I call it the reawakening. I think people figured out what's important in life, that we're not here forever, that there's a supernatural dimension and a personal dimension with your family.
Amen.
And we need to work to live, not live to work as Americans. But for whatever reason, that job churn rate has continued into where we are today. But Drew, I think we're at a turning point. You mentioned the R word, recession. Well, the recession is defined as 2 consecutive quarters of economic contraction. We had one last quarter. Nothing's changed, Drew. You talked about it. Spending power has gone down. Consumer disposable income is going down. They don't, you're spending all that money at the gas tank. You don't have money to go buy a new TV or what have you. But speaking of buying that new TV, we have supply chain issues. The TVs can't get through the ports. So as these companies can't sell cars, can't sell TVs, their revenues are going to go down. Their earnings are going to go down. They're going to have to do something. They're going to have to address their labor costs or other things. And then we have something called the inverted yield curve, but we won't go into that. But things haven't changed, Drew. I think we are in a recession. And yet, that article in the Wall Street Journal today just talks about this white hot job market persisting, that it is still there. So there's an opportunity for our listeners. And I think it's a finite opportunity. It's not going to last forever. That opportunity is either if, for whatever reason, you find yourself, maybe you are one of those people who have changed jobs and it didn't turn out to be quite what you expected, and/or you haven't taken the plunge. And I'm not saying to change jobs just for job change sake, just for change sake, but it is a great time, and it's not going to last, to find that dream job, the one where your competencies, what you're good at, match up with your passion, match up with your life goals, Drew, so that you can live the life that you want to live. And not, again, that last day in your eulogy, they're not going to say, "Wow, Bruce worked a lot." Let's hope they don't say that,
Yeah,
but rather
right.
that Bruce loved a lot, right?
Yeah, amen to that. That's so true. Yeah, my wife and I were talking about this earlier today, and I was trying to determine where is the largest spectrum of available jobs. I mean, what's the economics of those types of jobs? Are they professional? Are they service industry? What are they? And you say they're only going to last for a certain period of time. I would think more people are going to be looking for better paying jobs or a second job, just in light of the tightening of the economy right now. As inflation's going up, people are going to run out of money, and they still need to pay the bills. So maybe you can address those two things.
Sure, you bet. The jobs right now are across the board, with a few exceptions. As you might expect, with interest rates going up, mortgage lenders, people aren't refinancing their house. And if you're in the mortgage lending business, you may have been laid off or know other people that have been laid off. There are layoffs across the board. Another interesting market, think of home electronics, PCs, TVs, et cetera. People loaded up in the quarantine. They got their home office set up, and now they're not in need of a refresh. And there are contractions and people pulling the belt. So with a few exceptions, the market is hot across the board. Professional services, IT, leisure and hospitality, manufacturing, everybody's hiring right now.
That's
So
great.
what does that mean? So it doesn't mean you necessarily have to change, but who was it? The Brookings Institute, I think, did a study that showed that people that did change made between a 20 and a 30% increase in their compensation, which
Wow.
is huge. It's
Wow.
usually between 10 and 20%.
That's amazing.
You can also revisit. And I've got an example of this. Your compensation, your annual review, by going through our steps, which is you get the data, see what the outside market says is now your position is now worth, and then enlist your boss as a partner in helping solve a problem. My costs have gone up. I understand the market compensation for this position is now 15% above where I am today. Help me, let's work together to find a way to get me the compensation I need to continue to be a top performer in this organization. So, and trust me, your boss,
Yeah.
the odds are your boss has got 2 or 3 openings in other parts of the organization that they're pulling their hair out
Right.
about trying to fill. So the last thing they want to do is lose someone. So Drew, hopefully you don't have to get a second job. Hopefully you can find a way to and think creatively, as you're working on on how to make more where you are today. I don't know if you get overtime pay, if you get vacation pay, whatever it is, you know, work with your boss to see what the levers are. So hopefully that you can get more without having to move. But this is broad brush. And now when I say it's not going to last, Drew, the job market is a lagging indicator. People always used to say, "Hey, Bruce, you're doing all these executive searches. You probably know before anyone else when the market's going to go south." No, it doesn't work that way. Companies react after they see quarterly earnings. You know, this is all happening real time. Mm-hmm. Down the road is when they will implement a hiring freeze or really tighten their belts. And we've seen this, you know, every 10 years or so, going back to the early 80s, you've had a contraction. There was the telecom meltdown in 02. We had the Great Recession in, you know, 08, 10. And the quarantine, you know, the whole pandemic was a yo-yo. That was a blip, Drew. I mean, we came right back to where we are. But this is one of the other things you mentioned, which is that we're not quite back where we are because there are so many openings, mainly because the labor force participation rate is still lower than it was, like a percentage, which translates to like 2 million people, lower than it was before the pandemic. And that's the mystery that economists have been wrestling with, is where did those job, you know, those employees disappear to? Where did they go? I have a hunch. I've got a theory. I think we have boomers that retired, and that was documented. But they're starting to come back, not quite where they were before. You've got entrepreneurs, Drew. In fact, we had dinner last night with a couple whose son graduated from college and is doing an online entrepreneurial retail endeavor. And I think people are doing this during the pandemic. They're finding other ways to do things. And then again, good news. You mentioned the wealth creation that's happened up until now. I think you have more stay-at-home parents. So there's, instead of two working parents, you have one working parent, which I think is terrific and extraordinary. But that labor force participation is down. So that's why we've got those openings. And again, my message to our listeners is carpe diem, because it's not, you know, the labor market will catch up to the economy.
I think your point's a good one. You know, get concessions from a potential employer. You may not be able to get it at another point. This is a great time to do it by making a case for, you know, what competitors are doing, et cetera. But you know, to another point, and we've talked about this, I think, last time you were on, one of the big reasons I don't think we might see some of these numbers is people are very comfortable working remotely now, and they're looking for those type of jobs. That would probably be a good concession to get, too. Maybe your employer will let you do a hybrid or something along those lines. But where are employers today? If they're in such demand, 11.5 million jobs are open. If some of those positions can also function remotely, are they more apt to do that now, or has the mindset changed where employers want you in office? And if you're in office, I think it was you or somebody that once said to me, it's the guy that's in the office that is the one who ultimately gets the promotions. He's the one who advances quicker than the guys that's out of sight. But your thoughts?
Drew, you would think that employers, and I think they will come to embrace it, would be all over the hybrid model because they want to retain the best talent. I was with a partner of mine yesterday who works with a Fortune 50 company, and they are mandating that their executives live where the job is, even if it requires a ton of travel. There's one in Singapore, and they're making the person move to Singapore. I've got another client, which is a white-hot technology company growing very, very rapidly, and they, too, are requiring their people to be on site. Now they are offering a minor hybrid version, but with the caveat that you got to be there when you got to be there. So I think we're going to get there with a more. Now, if you look at LinkedIn, something like 20% of job seekers are seeking mobile or remote work opportunities, whereas only like 10%, order of magnitude here, Drew, 10% of jobs are on LinkedIn or our remote positions. But even that 10% is a lot higher than it's ever been. Yeah. So we're moving there, but I think that's going to be slow too. And that's why if it's not, and I agree with you, it's a no cost benefit, frankly, for your employer to offer to an employee. And I would argue that I don't agree with the fact that the person on the spot is going to get the promotion. I think the best, I still believe the best performer is going to get that promotion. But
You know, it's interesting. Let me jump in on that point because it's just, and I've got to take a quick break here. We'll take some calls on the other side. If you have a question or a comment, you want to join us, it's 888-914-9149. Maybe you're looking for that dream job and you need some advice. Bruce is the person to speak to. I'm speaking with Bruce Lockenauer. Yeah, there's a weird mentality, you know, this argument about being in office. You know, people see you, you're in the meetings, you, if you're articulate and you're a contributor and you work hard, okay, you might get the advancement. But there's also the other side of that that line, Bruce. And I sometimes think if you're out of sight, it's not necessarily you're out of mind. You ever notice the guy that works remotely when he comes to the corporate headquarters, you know, or the guy that broadcasts remotely when we come in, you know, it's suddenly, oh, Drew's here, or, oh, Patrick came in, or whoever it is. Sometimes, you know, you're like a fresh breath of air, depending where you are and when you come in. And there might be, I don't know, a different perspective on somebody who is a contributor but works remotely as well. Did you know what I'm saying? I don't know if I articulated that well.
I do. No, no, no. I you're to my point, which, but I want to add one, and that is performance is what matters. Whether you're in the office or out is your performance. In addition to that, though, I think you have to make yourself visible when you are in the office. So when you come in, you don't just run into the studio and close the door. Rather, you walk the halls. You walk the halls, Drew. Say hello to everybody.
That's what I was saying. Let yourself be known. I'm a contributor. I like people. You know that. You know me.
I do. I
enjoy
do.
Being around people. And there is a certain synergy, a certain vibe, a certain energy, a certain contribution happens when people can be together. I understand employers wanting people back in. I like the hybrid, and I think if you can make your employee happy too by doing both, or find a compromise that works for both of you, that's a win-win. I've got to take a short pause. Stay with me, Bruce. When we come back, we will talk more. If you want to get in, I only have about maybe 10 minutes the most left with Bruce Lockenauer. He was with me before. We talked about getting your dream job. We're looking at the economy today and jobs in the Biden administration. This is a great time to get a new job or a bump in your pay or a promotion. So if you've got a question, comment, and you want to get in, I'll go to the phones when we return, okay? More right after this. Don't go away.
Connect with Drew. Relevant Radio.
At 888-914-9149.
The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters, flexible premium life insurance. You know, for less than $12 a month, a 40-year-old can get $500,000 of coverage. Go to relevantradio.com/Forrester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app.
That's a good bumper, huh? Welcome back. Great to be with you. If you're on hold, I'll get you on the air. Just a quick programming note. Timory's got an interesting show coming up a little later. You can check her in about 2 hours. She's going to address this issue. Has the trans trend impacted your kids and family? Dr. Nicholas Cardaris, the country's foremost technology addiction expert, is going to join her about how these online influencers are spreading transgenderism to your kids and to teens on social media. I know you may not be up to speed on what's on your kids' phones. You really should be. You know, do your due diligence. He's also going to discuss, porn's impact on relationship. And that is a modern day drug, a modern day scourge. It's a modern day pandemic. And so it should be a great show. You can check out Timory on the station you're listening to, or of course, online or on the app. If you're just tuning in, I am joined this afternoon by Bruce Lockenauer. He's a global senior client partner with Korn Ferry. It's an international search firm. And he works with, Fortune, some of the best countries, some of the best companies in the nation. And he's placed some very, very high, high profile, high paid and very qualified people. And he can help you regardless of whether you're at the top of the tier or just starting your career. And let's just jump right into it if we can, Bruce. We'll go right to the phones, take a call or two for you. Jay is listening in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Jay, good afternoon. It's good to have you here.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for taking my call, guys. The question I had was, I didn't know if there was any kind of demographic that he has for employment opportunities for age groups. Just a brief history. I'm 65. I'm going to have to work for a couple more years. Mm. I was out of work for over a year trying to find a job, but I finally found one. My wife's almost in the same boat. She's looking for another job, but it seems to be like age discrimination and not hiring people our age. Can you address something like that?
Yeah, great question.
You bet. You know, let me turn it back to you, Jay. How did you find your job? What did you get? Because I've got a view on this, and I think I want to do more on a show on this, frankly, on ageism. But how did you find your job? Go ahead.
Every different kind of website, LinkedIn and all the others, applying. I went to headhunter agencies, and then finally after about a year of doing that. And actually, I think I, you know, I have to say, saying the, you know, prayer of the rosary and the chaplet and all that for a year, it finally came through. And
beautiful.
And thank God it did. But, you know, I'm right now, I think there's people in my situation that are still having trouble.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. I think, unfortunately, ageism is an issue out there. That's the bad news. The good news is we're in the hottest job market known to man, you know, that we've ever seen. So, you know, my advice is to go after the 12 steps to finding and landing your dream job, which means figure out your competencies. What are you good at? And your passions. You know, just a couple of these. Then network. The beauty of having experience is that you've got an incredible network. And with LinkedIn, you can go and see what one degree of separation will get you, which is just about anybody anywhere. So as you target what you want to go after, get an introduction. And when people say, you got to meet Jay, he's incredible, you'll open the door. And then I think you need to be a little creative, which is maybe you come in as a try you like it or consult where they can hire you on a part-time basis or an hourly basis. And then maybe you expand your portfolio. But unfortunately, you're right. You got to work harder. Yep. But I think with a little creativity in this job market, there's hope. And as you said, prayer can make all the difference. And I've got lots of stories about how that's happened.
I love that. Hey, Jay, good luck. Thank you for joining us. I'm grateful for your call. Tom's listening in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Bruce, hi, Tom.
Hi. So I have a question. So I'm in a food delivery service. You know, somebody calls up a restaurant. And then it shows up on my phone. I pick up the food from the restaurant and I deliver it. So I want to know at what point, you know, my company is not going to be able to reimburse me for the gas. Right now I get 35 cents a mile, you know, but what's going to happen when this gets really high, you know, say $7, $8? You know, is that just going to disappear from the industry?
I think what's going to happen is, and I'll let Bruce respond to you, I'm assuming that's going to get passed on to the consumers. Gas prices go up, so will the delivery charges. But Bruce, I'll let you respond to Tom on that point.
Yeah, I would agree, Drew. There's no, I mean, they are probably in need of drivers, and to retain and attract new drivers, they're going to have to pay market compensation, which is to cover those costs. Yeah. And God willing, you'll get the tips to help you bridge until that time. I would encourage you to look at other you know, delivery options to check and see what they're doing and let your employer know what they're doing so that you can hopefully get the market rate.
All right, and we'll move along. Roberta, thank you, Tom. And I know it's a concern for anybody who's got to drive. I mean, I take a look at these truckers. I mean, we had a trucker deficit too, Bruce, not too long ago. You know, we need people driving trucks. We saw that with a supply chain issue. But boy, even the cost of fuel for trucks, man, it's insane. Roberto's listening in San Mateo, California. Roberto, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Marini and Bruce. I mean, I am worried about my 22-year-old son. You know, I think I'm happy to hear that there's jobs available, but, you know, is that some companies that offer job training? Do you have one or two, three that you can mention? You know, because definitely, you know, kids, if they don't want to go to school, they don't want to get a university diploma, and they want to enter into the workforce.
Roberto, because of time, let me just stop you on that point. It's a really good question, though. What about those who aren't college educated and they don't feel called to do that? What kind of jobs are out there that will allow them to support their family?
Yeah, there are some companies, Roberto, that do a great job of educating and promoting their executives along the way, both for people who have BAs or degrees and those that don't. I think UPS comes to mind. And early in the, about, I don't know, 9 months ago, they started offering jobs over the phone, you know, in about 30 minutes or less. And boom, the next day you could find yourself sitting next to another driver. And they've got a great track record of, again, of promoting people from within. So UPS is one that springs to mind. There are others like Google, but I'm sure they require a college degree. But a transportation, I bet you FedEx is like that too. I think if you find a company that promotes from within and trains, like UPS or FedEx, your son could get off to a great start.
Well, Bruce, look, it's always great to have you. We have to have you back sooner, too. There's a lot to get into. I'd love to discuss ageism with you. And there's a lot of other topics we've just scratched the surface of, the dignity of work and so much more. But I've got about a minute left, so I just want to give it to you. If there's anything, any advice, any resource, anything you'd like to direct people to, I'd love to have them connect.
Yeah, you bet, Drew. So I would encourage people, if they need to go deep in a specific piece of the job search process of figuring out what that dream job looks like, getting it or closing it, to go to the Morning Air page and just type in Bruce and you'll see all the shows. So you can go into detail on what that step is. But bottom line, as we've been talking about, this is, you know, I don't have a crystal ball, Drew, but I'd be surprised if 6 months from now we have the job market looking like it does today. So I would encourage our listeners, if they need to affect where they are, they should do it now.
Well, Bruce, thanks. Always good to talk with you. You're on Morning Air, too. You want to give that a plug so people can maybe ask the questions?
Sure. Every morning, every Monday morning, 7:30, bright and early. They can email me, Drew, at bruce@relevantradio.com.
All right, that's simple. bruce@relevantradio.com. Be sure to ask your questions on Morning Air, and I'll bring Bruce back again. Big issue, affects all of us. I'm out of time for today. I want to thank you for allowing me to be part of your afternoon. Say a prayer for me. I will certainly remember you in my rosary on the drive home in just a few moments, okay? Until we talk again, may God bless you.